know, without practicing larceny, we could eat for free, or close to it. Hank Shaw does this pretty much all the time. He's a former chef who's now a full-time writer and forager. Follow his lead, that is, learn foraging, and maybe have a new career. Some restaurants hire foragers, and if nothing else, you're going to save money. Hank's put what he's learned between covers in Hunt, Gather, Cook, Finding the Forgotten Feast. Hank, it's good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, you know, I was thinking about spring foraging, and we always go after greens, but we need something more challenging. So what have you got up your sleeve?
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
So really, what is out there at this point that we might not think of?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. If you look down, there's a whole bunch of spring mushrooms. And if you look up, there are, in fact, a lot of interesting things that you can get from trees right now.
Never think of foraging from trees.
Well, I mean, other than nuts and fruits. But yeah, I'm not talking about that in the spring because that's more of a late summer and fall thing. What I'm talking about more are leaves and blossoms and bark. Bark, yes, you can eat. Well, you don't actually eat bark, but you use bark as a flavoring agent.
Let's start with blossoms. What kind of blossoms, first of all?
I mostly will, the general rule is if the thing that the blossom's going to turn into is edible, then the blossom itself is edible. So I live in California, so I've got almond trees all around, and I will actually make kind of a nice romantic liqueur with almond blossoms.
So what do? You just put them in alcohol and let them sit?
You do that. You know, so the thing about blossoms on any tree is they're very ephemeral. I mean, that's why everybody rushes down to D.C. for the Cherry Blossom Festival. And so when they're blooming and it's on a nice day, their aroma is going to be really powerful right in the morning, right around, after the dew is gone but before the weather gets warm. And you pick as many as you can. It takes a little while.
Right.
And you fill a mason jar full of the blossoms and then cover it with 100-proof vodka. I like the 100-proof because you get a little bit more extraction of flavor, color, and aroma that way. And then you just let it steep for 2 weeks in a dark place, strain it, and then put as much sugar as you want in there, and it will dissolve. And you have yourself a very nice, very aromatic after-dinner drink. It smells like that spring morning.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Would you ever infuse them? I mean, for instance, I'm thinking about the trick you do with herbs where you can put them in cream, warm cream.
Absolutely.
Let them sit and then take, strain, and then you can make things with that cream and it'll just be fabulous.
You absolutely can. In fact, I do this with rose petals a lot. You can have rose petal ice cream. I mean, it's not a tree so much, but it is
right.
The same basic idea. And you could do a panna cotta or a pot de creme or something like that as well.
Do you ever eat leaves of trees?
I don't know that I eat leaves per se. However, if you've ever had filet gumbo, that is the powdered dried leaf of the sassafras tree. And that grows everywhere east of the Great Plains. And it's not a lot of people know that magic powder that makes your gumbo thicker
right.
Is actually the leaf of a common tree.
Interesting. And sassafras, but what I remember about sassafras is that it smells like root beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, maybe I was playing with death, but when I was a kid, I used to break off the twigs and we'd pound them and then we'd suck on them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the cool thing about the sassafras tree is not only, so the roots are the root in root beer, right? So that's that root beer taste. But if the twigs that you and I chewed as a little kid,
yeah.
know how they have green bark, so you really know what they look, they're very distinctive. But that bark on the twigs, that tastes like Fruit Loops. It's totally cool.
All right, but wait a minute. Isn't there something toxic about sassafras?
Quasi. If you were to eat it a lot over a long period of time, there is some research that suggests that maybe it might kind of sort of be bad for you. But the one study that a lot of people will cite involves safrole, which is the element that they're looking at in the sassafras tree. But basically, they fed rats about the equivalent of drinking 3 gallons of root beer every day for 6 months. And then, well, lo and behold, they got sick. So, provided your consumption is moderate, I see no problem with it. And people have been making sassafras tea and drinking real, honest-to-God root beer for, centuries.
What else can you do with bark?
One of my favorite things to do with bark is to use it kind of like a tea. So, if you've heard of birch beer, that's the bark of a gray birch tree. And no matter where you are in this country, there's a bark that you can use. If you are in the east, there's hickory bark, the shagbark hickory. If you are in the mountain areas, you've got ponderosa pine, which is a really special bark because that has a kind of a butterscotchy note to it. And then if you're in the west, you have a tree called a madrone. And madrone, that bark will pop and curl exactly like a cinnamon curl. It looks just like cinnamon, except it's much more delicate. And that actually has something of a cinnamon flavor to it. And what you do, just like we were talking about infusing with that rose petal ice cream, you get a just an amazing woodsy, butterscotchy or smoky or cinnamony. You get a lot of complex flavors from these barks. And I will make ice creams with them. And hey, have you ever had a tea egg?
Yes,
you know, a Chinese tea egg
has actually been cooked in the tea and in the shell.
Yes, and it all has that beautiful spiderweb pattern on it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Do that with these infused barks and it'll curl your hair. It looks so cool and it's a great, really cool wild snack that, you know, I guarantee you nobody's ever had before. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard about spruce tips or fir tips in cooking.
No.
They are a really special ingredient. It's the very tip of the growing tree. It has a springtime deal, and it's super light green. You know how everything is normally pine green,
right.
But the growing tips are very light, and if you can, they're full of vitamin C. In fact, they taste disturbingly like a lime. And the problem is, you have to kind of pick your way through because tree A may taste more like turpentine than lime, but tree B might taste super super, you know, citrusy and very very sweet with no resiny, you know, aftertaste at all. So spruce trees and Doug fir are two excellent trees to work with those tips. And you can actually eat them straight.
Really? You just snack on them as you walk through the forest then?
I do. And actually, because that also helps me figure out which tree is the one I want to go back to.
I love it. Who knew? Hank, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hank Shaw's Guide to Foraging is Hunt, Gather, Cook. Find his recipe for spruce or fir tree syrup on the website, splendidtable.org.